the most important message that maybe I've ever brought before any church. And the simple reason for that is this. There's coming a day, and it won't be long, where every person is going to stand before the Lord. The only reason that we meet together as a church, that we gather together, that as we study God's Word, that as we encourage each other, the only reason that we are to do that is so that we can tell people about Jesus. Now, there's other benefits, no doubt about it. You get to draw close to other people, form relationships, encourage each other specifically, have fellowship. All those things are good. But the purpose for us as believers is to not just take what God has given us and just enjoy it, but keep it to ourselves. No. He's called us to be His ambassadors. This particular passage of Scripture today, it weighs heavy on my heart for a number of reasons. One in particular is that I know that there are people that God has put into my life over the course of the past few years that He put there for a reason. And the reason is so that I could share the good news with them. And I haven't always been faithful with that. Scripture tells us that there will be a day when these people are brought to judgment. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. But that also those of us that know Christ may look down and see their blood upon our hands because we failed to tell them about how much God loves us. Let's read together in Revelation chapter 20. I don't mean to start out with such a heavy thought, but it's so important for us. Let's stand in honor of God's Word. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. And then I saw a great white throne, and Him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from His presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Father, I come to you this morning, Lord, and I pray, Father, more than anything else, we would glorify you, that we would lift you up. We thank you so much for your word and for this specific word to us of what it's going to be like on that day. When every person who doesn't know you stands before you and has to receive the judgment of separation forever. Lord, I pray that you'll help us be so burdened in our heart that we'll do something about it. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Folks, there's a day coming when every person who chose not to receive the salvation of the Lord will stand in judgment and receive what is due to them. This is the judgment of the lost. Those who didn't believe there was a God. Those who decided they didn't need God. Those who chose to be tried who chose to try to be good enough on their own. They will all stand before the just judge and receive the penalty for their own sin. Now, I think sometimes, and I don't know about you, let me just ask the question. How many of you in here, and those of you that are watching online, would say, I've known the Lord and received Him as my Savior. I've known Him for over 25 years. Would you raise your hand? All right. How about 30 years? And we're going to get to the older folks here in a minute. How about 40 years? All right. 50 years. All right. So we're getting down to the last few here. The fact is this, many of us have known Jesus for a long time. And within that period of time that we've known Him, we have to ask ourselves a question. Have I just enjoyed the goodness of God in my life, but pretty much kept it to myself? Or have I shared with other people what God has done for me and allowed them to know the good news of Christ? I think we're all going to feel a little bit of that twinge today when we stop and think about all of these vast majority of people that have ever lived. Will stand on this day. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. They will stand before Jesus Christ, the judge, the one who was willing to die for their sins, the one who was willing to take their sin debt upon himself and to pay for their sins. But they rejected him. They said no. And they didn't follow him. So I want you to see, first of all, about the judge himself. Look at what verse 11 says. Then I saw a great white throne. It's called the Bema seat. In Greek, the word is Bema. And it was him who was seated upon it. And earth and sky fled from his presence. And there was no place for them. This place is called the great white throne because it's truly the supreme court, the highest court in the universe. And once a verdict is given from that court, it cannot be changed. When the judgment comes down from this throne, there is no appeal to a higher court because there is no higher court. This judgment is final judgment. You know, I think sometimes we think, oh, you know, God's a gracious God. Somehow He's going to give people another chance. He is a gracious God. He's a patient God. And He's continuing even now to give people a chance. But there will be a day of judgment. There will be. It is coming. The great white throne is called white because of the purity of the one who sits upon this throne as the judge. All judgment that's rendered by this court are perfect and fair and just. And people will get what they deserve. You might think, well, if people are getting what they deserve, what's the big deal about it? The big deal about it is some of these people that it's talking about are people you know. That God has put into your lives for a reason. It could possibly even be somebody that's listening to this today. Because if you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you will also be standing in front of the judge, Jesus, on this day. The person of the white on the white throne, is his name is the judge, the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, John chapter 5, verse 22 tells it to us like this. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but it is entrusted all the judgment to the Son. Acts 10, Verses 40 through 42 says, "But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who had ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. The one who died for the payment of sin will also judge those who did not receive the gift of his grace." That's Jesus. He is the Savior, but he will also be the sentence giver on this day. Now think about it, folks. On that day, the one who gave everything for everyone will have to render the sentence of separation from God forever. Have you ever had your heart broken? Now, I'm not talking about in seventh grade when that girl said no when you asked her to go to the dance. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your heart broken by someone. If it's possible for God's heart to break, it will be on this day. The perception of this throne, there will be nowhere to hide. Because every person will be standing before the throne who has not accepted him, and he will see every single person. And no sin can be hidden from his gaze. You know, we think sometimes, nobody knows about this, or, I can get away with this, or it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. And every person will stand before Jesus. And every sin that has been committed must be paid for. It can either be paid by the blood of Jesus Christ now, or it will be paid by the eternity of a lost soul in hell. Folks, I don't know if you realize the finality of that. I don't know if I've always realized the finality of that. But I do know this. God's word is right and it's true. And Jesus is just. And so when he brings the judgment, it will be done. The justice that comes, look at what verses 12 and 13 say. "And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, according to the books. And the sea gave up its dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done." Now, listen to this. You're either going to be judged by the blood of Jesus Christ that covers you, if you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Or you're going to be judged by your own works. Which one do you want? If you're judged by your own works, if I'm judged by my own works, I'm not going to make it. There's no possible way. The scripture calls these people dead. You know why? Because in reference to their spiritual life, they are spiritually dead. They have no real life. In fact, every person that's born into this world really has no spiritual life until you know Jesus. Just like Adam and Eve, when they sinned, their spiritual life died. And they were put out of the garden and they were separated from God. The spiritually dead are referring to those without Christ because believers, the scripture tells us, have passed from death to life, according to John 5:24. If you know Jesus, you've passed from death to life. And in fact, Jesus said in John 10:10, the evil one comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you can have life and have its overflowing abundance. So if you know Jesus, you have life that can never be taken away. We've passed from death to life. Let me also say this about this judgment. No one's going to be left out. There's not going to be anybody hiding behind a tree or behind a rock or whatever. Everyone will be judged who's not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And in fact, the Scripture talks about the books, these documents. The books are going to be opened. I think there's a number of books, but literally, we know of three of them. One is the Bible. Everything that God does will be judged according to His Word, because that's who He is. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we will be judged according to what His Word says, or at least these people that are standing before Him. If you know Christ, you've already been taken care of because you are under the blood of Christ. You will also, the people that are standing there will be judged by the book of deeds. These are everything, all the things that you've done in your life are written down. You might think, well, wait a minute, there's billions of people. That's a lot of books. That's a lot of pages. It is. But God's keeping record. And those things that you think might be hidden will all be brought to light, the Scripture says. All the recorded deeds of every person, both good and bad. And then it talks about the book of life, or the Lamb's book of life, mentioned in a couple other places. This lists the names of those who are redeemed by the blood of Jesus, because they did not reject Him, but received His gift of grace. Now let me just tell you something. I believe with all my heart, according to Revelation, the 3rd chapter, that every person who's ever born, their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because it goes on to say, for those who reject Him, their names are blotted out of that book. So people have to make a choice. They have to decide, am I going to follow Jesus and believe and trust in Him, or am I going to reject Him? And for every person who dies having rejected Jesus, their name is blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. And then the decision will be rendered. The righteous judge will render his judgment upon what is in the books. You can't change it. You can't say, oh, well, scratch that one out. Mark through that one. Get your white out. No. They will be judged according to what's in the books. I'm so glad that I'm judged because of what's in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's not by works of righteousness which I've done, but it's according to His mercy that He saved me by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. That's what Titus 3:5-6 says. I'm judged according to His blood and because of who He is. His perfect blood has covered me. And folks, that should be so amazing to us that we could not stop talking about it. But I've known so many Christians in my life, including myself sometimes, that have gotten over that. And we take the goodness of God and we keep it to ourselves. And I know this breaks the heart of God. Those that have rejected Jesus will, I believe, hear the most chilling words that have ever been spoken. Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels, for I never knew you. Do you have a friend? Do you have someone in your family? Do you have someone that you're close to, that you're okay with them hearing that from the mouth of Jesus? The decision is coming. The judgment will be made. The scripture says it's a fearful judgment. Look at verses 14 and 15. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Gehenna. The place of torment and death. But you never die. It's called the second death. Eternal separation from God with no hope. You see, one of the greatest things we have in this world right now is hope. But there will be a day when that hope is gone. You may have a loved one, you may have a friend, you may have a coworker that you just hope at some point they will turn their lives over to Jesus. There's still hope because He's not yet come to take His people home. But one day, that hope will be gone. The Scripture calls this place the second death, a place where you will never die but wish you could. It's going to be so bad. Think of a time in your life when you went through such pain that you didn't think you could stand it. Anybody can think of some times like that? Well, just think about it, never ending, continuously, forever. A place of eternal torment where you will be in pain forever. Folks, we don't hear a whole lot spoken about hell, but I guarantee you it's real. It's just as real as heaven is. It's just as real as this world is. And people are going to go there. And the devil's been so deceptive about this place. In fact, I'd say a large majority of young people that I've talked to in the past 10, 20, 30 years think that hell is just going to be a big party place. They're going to get to do everything they wanted to do here on this earth. The devil's deceiving. He knows exactly what it's going to be like because he's going to be there. And by the way, in hell, he's not going to be in charge. Everybody thinks, well, the devil's going to be the one handing out all the punishment and pain and everything. No, he's going right through the punishment and pain as well. In fact, hell was made for the devil and his angels because of their disobedience against God. It was meant for them to be punished. But when man chose to sin, that punishment also fell to man. It's a fearful judgment that's coming, and it is a final judgment. There will be no more chances when this verdict is given out. There'll be no appeal process. There'll be no, hey, can I try again? When Jesus speaks His judgment on that day, it will be the final judgment. I recall back in high school, our drama team did a musical called Little Abner. Any of y'all remember that? And there was a little granny in that that I mean, she basically was in charge of the family. Little Abner's big old honking, big muscular guy, and she's about a little bit short lady with a corn cob pipe in her mouth. But when she says something, they all did it, because she would say, "And I have spoken." And when she has spoken, that was it. And folks, there will be a day when Jesus speaks. And he will say, "Depart from me." But really, folks, this is a foolish judgment in a sense, because you don't have to go through it. Your family doesn't have to go through it. The people that you love do not have to go through this judgment. There is a way out. His name is Jesus. This does not have to happen. It's not too late right now for you to make sure that you don't hear this judgment spoken against you. We're living in a time of grace, but soon that day of grace will be over. I think it could come sooner than later. I believe the Lord is preparing even us right now in a way to say, "Listen, I'm giving you another chance to be workers in the field and to bring in the harvest before it's everlasting too late." If you've never been saved, you need to come to Jesus. You need to be saved today. Who says we're going to have tomorrow? If you'll just trust Jesus by faith, he will save you and spare you from this terrible time of judgment that is coming upon all the lost. Wouldn't you come to him? Why wouldn't you come to him? What would keep you from coming to him? I think some people think, "Well, if I come to Jesus, then I can't do all the things I want to do." That's exactly right. Are those things that you want to do better than this? Being separated in a place called hell forever? To those of us who are saved, this passage reminds us of the terrible need of the world around us. If nothing else, it ought to move us to come before the Lord and cry out for the souls of our friends and our neighbors and our loved ones who need Jesus. It ought to stir our hearts so that we will not rest until we try to tell every lost person we know about this salvation. And it's available to them if they will just come to Jesus. Surely we've not become so hardened that the thought of hell no longer moves us. As I was going through this week, I thought, "Lord, how can I get this across in such a way? How can I let your Holy Spirit speak in such a way that it will grip us into action?" I believe that the Holy Spirit kind of gave me an idea this week. And I'm just going to lay it out there before you. And of course, I couldn't make you do it. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. I'm just going to ask you to do something very simple. I've got a stack of 3x5 cards right here. And I'm going to put these 3x5 cards down here on the Lord's Supper table. By the way, what a beautiful picture that is that he gave his blood and his body for us. What are we going to do for him? I want to put this stack of cards, they're blank, on the table down here. What I'm going to ask you to do is this. Right now, in fact, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. Right now, would you ask Jesus to put the name of someone on your heart? The name of someone you know that needs to give their heart to Jesus. Maybe you just want to use a first name. You might not want to put everybody's whole name. You might want to. It doesn't matter. The Lord already knows them. But I asked God to put someone's heart, someone's name on my heart, and He gave me someone. And so I'm going to take one of these cards, and I'm going to write His name on it. Now, I'm not writing His name on it so that everybody in this church can see His name or anything like that. But what I am going to do is I'm going to take this card. Maybe you want to take more than one card because maybe you know lots of people that don't know Jesus. So there's no limit to how many you want to take. I think I've got lots of them here. But I'm going to ask you to take at least one card. And take that card and write the person's name on it. On that card, and then take that card and put it somewhere in your house, in your vehicle, somewhere that you go all the time. I would dare say I would love to put it on the inside of my Bible so that I would see it every time I open my Bible, but that means I need to be opening my Bible all the time, and I need to. And I try to do that all the time. Wherever it is, take that card and put it somewhere that every time you see that person's name, you immediately pray for them, that God would be working by His Holy Spirit to convict them and draw them. And then maybe on that card, you might be able to write under their name at some point, "I had the opportunity to share Jesus with this person, and they received Him as their Savior." Pray over that card every day. Pray over that person every day. It's not the card that matters, it's the person. But it's just a reminder to us all. I think we can get so busy doing so many different things that we forget about the whole reason that we're really here. The whole reason that we gather together is not just so that we can gather together, but so that God can speak to our hearts and that we can be motivated to do what He's called us to do already. And He's commissioned us to do. And He is begging us to do. So when we end today, I'm just going to set these cards down on the Lord's Supper table. And if you don't get a come and pick one up, that's between you and God. I'm not going to check up on you. I'm not going to call you and say, "How come you didn't pick up a card?" This is between you and God. But let me just remind you, there'll be a day when the dead are standing before Christ, and they will hear those words. "Will their blood be on your hands?" Lord, I pray this morning. I pray this morning that we will be moved in such a way that people will come to know You. Will we go out weeping tears so that we can bring back joyfully the sheaves that are out in the field? Lord, honestly, if we're not doing the number one thing You've asked us to do, why should we even meet together? Why should we even gather together? It's just a facade if we really don't love like You love. And so, Lord, I pray you'll break our hearts. And that, Lord, we truly will care enough to start praying every single day for at least one person. Lord, I'm going to write more than one name on my card. I've got a few people that you've put on my heart, and I'm going to be praying for them, and I'm going to be looking for opportunities that you give me to share the good news with them. And I'm making a commitment to do that, Lord. And Lord, this will just be between you and me. I'm not doing it to try to earn any points. I just care about these people. And I don't want them to stand before you and hear, "Depart from me." So Lord, I pray this in the strong name of Jesus, our Savior and the Judge. In His name I pray. Amen. I'm going to put these on the table as you're dismissed today. You can go by and pick one up. But please, if you're going to do it, really do it. Thank you, folks. You're dismissed today.